could it really be? That stuff was sending skyward isn't going all the way. Just floating like a blanket underneath it, we all.
And speaking of floating, I'm looking at a picture here that went along with a fabulous column in the Des Moines Register this week that criticized presidential candidate Mitt Romney for what he said at the end of his acceptance speech this week. You must have heard it. If you missed it, you've heard about it. And that was this quote: President Obama promised to begin to slow the rise of the oceans and heal the planet. My promise is to help you and your family. There was something wrong with that statement on so many levels, and among those who were outraged by it and did something about it by writing a column is my next guest. He is State Senator from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Rob Hogue, and there's a picture of people who were hit by terrible flooding 4 years ago in Cedar Rapids that caused, I believe, $5 billion in damage to a very small city of about 125,000 in population. And that was exactly what was going on in parts of Louisiana, New Orleans in particular, while the Republican convention was going on because of the hurricane, Isaac, of course. So welcome to the Green Front.
Yeah,
thanks for joining me.
I broke out there.
Okay, you there? Hello? Senator Hogue, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Anyway, I want to congratulate you on a very well-written column, and you talk about how there's a little bit of a disconnect when Romney is talking about how his promise is to help you and your family when families are suffering from the ravages of climate change, literally, as he was speaking, as the conventions are taking place. What prompted you to write this piece that I really think summed it up? The surreality of it.
I'll tell you what, Betsy, after hearing what Governor Romney said, I lost a lot of sleep, because for him in the year 2012 to turn climate change into a laugh line and healing the planet into a laugh line is just so wrong. And then to suggest that somehow those issues don't matter to people and their families is just wrong. You know, when I think about myself and my family, one of the things I count on government to do is to safeguard the environment and future generations from problems like climate change. I'll tell you what, Betsy, I felt like I was a passenger on the Titanic, and I was listening to a rich guy make a joke about it, and it was a really, really bad moment. I'm upset, and I guess the good news is it gives us an opportunity to explain why climate change is so important for people and families, why this is such an important issue for people.
Really, first we explode, then we explain. I literally jumped out of my chair and said, "Whoa! Can you believe what he just said?" And, you know, I had the same feeling when I saw that and heard those words as I did when then-President Bill Clinton said, "I did not have," he looked into the camera, you know, shook his hand and said, "I did not have sex with that woman." And it was painfully obvious to many of us paying attention that he probably did, and he was going to live to regret those words. It may be a strange comparison, but I had the same feeling, you're going to regret those words, Mitt. You really are.
Betsy, now that you mention it, first of all, historically, it will be seen as just the dumbest thing anybody could say, historically.
I'm calling it the gaffe of the century.
but the other thing is, he knows better. When he was governor of Massachusetts, Massachusetts took climate action. He has acknowledged in the past the reality of this issue, and for him to turn it into a laugh line and for Republican convention goers to laugh, I just thought it's really, really bad. People have to understand, and I think this is one of the things I've been trying to make the point about, especially since the flood of 2008 just devastated the community that I represent. Climate change has real consequences for real people. And I know you can't necessarily pinpoint any specific disaster on climate change, although I will tell you in our case, our river had never been above 21 feet before at flood stage. It reached 31 feet. It was as wide as the Mississippi River at flood stage, and it caused tremendous damage. Well, I don't think those sorts of things just happen without something like climate change happening. But the point is, these disasters happen. They have real consequences. The scientists have been warning us for decades that we're going to see more and more of these disasters. And now it's happening, and we've got to take it seriously.
And if Hurricane Katrina hadn't been so devastating, Hurricane Isaac would have been, you know, horrendous. And it was horrendous enough, but it's in comparison to what we saw with Katrina that somehow Isaac is not quite as bad, yet people lost their lives. So much damage was completely lost. I mean, homes and furniture, everything is, you know, as we speak, moldy, and there's still communities that don't have electricity. And yet it doesn't seem to be topping the news in the way that it should. Instead, we have convention news, and then there's a big disconnect going on. Let's hope we don't see the same disconnect. I'm sure it won't be quite as bad. I mean, Obama would never say anything that stupid. But yet it doesn't seem to be really high up. It is included in the platform statement. But I don't know. Are you expecting to hear much about even the words climate change uttered during the Democratic Party.
I don't have any doubt that President Obama will mention it. It's not the central issue for him that it needs to become. I know when I talked to then Senator Obama about this back in August of 2007, I felt like he understood it, but it wasn't at the centerpiece of what he's about, and it really needs to move that way. I mean, this is a life or death issue for civilization. I mean, this is, and Betsy, we've had so many of these climate-related disasters that we've forgotten ones that happened, right? It's just, well, this one, you know, this week it was Isaac. This week it was wildfires in Montana.
I know.
Well, last, you know, month it was wildfires in Colorado. Earlier this year it was Tropical Storm Debbie. It was flooding in Duluth.
And tens of thousands of heat waves, you know, heat records melted, you know, heat temperatures.
The drought and the heat waves, it's all terribly, terribly serious, and that's just this year. If you go back last year, we had $14 billion disasters in our country, including flooding on the Missouri River, and then a bunch of disasters like flooding in Minot, North Dakota, flooding in Dubuque, that weren't billion-dollar disasters but caused heartache and trauma for people, cost some lives. We were lucky in Cedar Rapids. Nobody died in our flood, but that's unusual. But the economic devastation is incredible. And as somebody who represented a bunch of people who were really severely damaged in the flood, and I know I was at my business, you know, we're a part-time legislature in Iowa. My day job, we were out of our offices for 3.5 months. It's not just the economics. It's the emotional devastation that goes with it when you see all these things that were part of your life and all these belongings ruined and put out and taken to a landfill somewhere. You know, this, we need to do a better job as a country dealing with these disasters, especially as they're increasing in numbers because of climate change.
So if climate change is a life and death issue, and I certainly would not argue with that, when did it become so for you? Was it that event in 2008 for you that made it bring it home?
It brought it home. I've been concerned about the climate issue now for probably about 20 years. If you go back to why I ran for office in 2002 in the first place, it was one of those issues in the background that was motivating me to run. It was something I'd worked on, I knew about, and I kind of thought, yeah, I should run. But when something like 2008 happens and you begin to realize, okay, so that was a small, you know, a flood in a small city in Iowa, and look at all the heartache and trauma it brought. And then you see the projections for what scientists say will be happening in terms of flooding and drought in the future. And it's like, good Lord, we've got to get moving on this thing. It's urgent. It's like the Titanic. Mm. You think there's a problem ahead of you. In fact, now we think we see the problem ahead of us. This year, new record melting of the Arctic, new record melting of Greenland. This is gathering momentum. We need to get after it.
And you're right, and yet there is so little talk about it and outright, you know, denial of it actively, thanks to the Koch brothers and fossil fuel industry funding the denial machine. I mean, how is it that we can have climate change fatigue, as you say, you know, the societal impact of all this record devastation and, you know, killer weather does make us kind of forget, and it all kind of blurs together, and we do get kind of numb and go into paralysis. And yet at the same time, we still have active denial going on, and not just in some corners, but, you know, at the top of one party who has a leader that wants to be president. And especially during these next couple of years that are so critical, how can we afford to have people in government, you know, in the White House and Congress, who don't want to address this or won't even talk about what they might do to address it, and in fact even won't even acknowledge its existence, and then even made worse by joking about it. It defies belief.
Yeah, well, here's what I think about it. I mean, I love America. I think America is a great country, and I think we've given this issue some time, right? Americans didn't rush to judgment on this issue. We've given it some time. And now I think as Americans look around the world and see what's happening, you cannot argue with the fact that Arctic sea ice is at an all-time low. And you can't argue with the fact that greenhouse gases are building up in the atmosphere. I think we are on the cusp of some significant climate action by the United States of America. I think this country is going to take action. And one of the things that's going to help is we're realizing that the alternatives aren't so bad. I mean, in my state, we have a huge wind energy industry, and we need to grow that industry. Unfortunately, the Republicans in Congress are holding up the production tax credit, which is actually costing people jobs. I had 74 people in Cedar Rapids at Clipper Wind Power lose their job because of layoffs. That's at least part caused by the failure to extend the production tax credit. Well, folks, this stuff works. Energy efficiency works. Renewable energy works. Fuel efficiency works. President Obama, to his credit, he has saved the auto industry and also helped that industry become more fuel efficient. I think we're on the cusp of significant climate action. I think this is something people have been patient with. But we can't wait too long, and we're really at a time in history now where we need to take decisive action. Just kind of like what the United States did before World War II. We did not want to get in that war as a country. We did everything possible to keep out of it. Well, then Pearl Harbor comes along. We have to get involved, and we led the world to win that war. I think the United States of America is going to lead the world to deal with the climate issue. I think we're going to do it decisively. I believe that if President Obama is reelected, he will be a part of that. I think if Mitt Romney is elected, I think you set yourself back at least 4 years and really do permanent harm to the cause. But it's not President Obama who's going to lead us. He's always said, it's people who lead. We need to lead.
Exactly. And that's why we need a people's movement and all kinds of efforts to, as I say, pull out the green card. I mean, if it is going to be a close election, whatever your politics, whatever you care about, if you care about your kids, country, planet, love your family, you will vote for Obama just because at least he does know climate change is real and that it's happening, even if he hasn't said or done as much as, is needed. There is a distinct difference, and I'm not being partisan in saying this. It's just so painfully obvious. And all the studies show that it would behoove Romney to talk about climate change, which, by the way, he used to believe in, quote, and did a lot for investing in, clean energy when he was governor. So if you had him in a room, what would you say to him, Senator? What would you tell him he should do before, he really goes down as just, incredibly out of touch?
Well, that's a good question. I obviously would tell him it's a reality and we've got to work on it. I'd tell Governor Romney, there used to be a day in America where wealthy individuals like he is felt a sense of obligation to other people and future generations. And unfortunately, for him, it just seems to me like he's just in it about getting as much for himself and for his friends as for really stepping up and doing something good. John Kennedy, he was a wealthy individual, but his purpose as President of the United States was to help, win the Cold War and raise people up, right? To advance the human condition, and I would tell Governor Romney, this issue, it doesn't matter how rich you are, this issue is a threat to your future. Plenty of wealthy individuals died on the Titanic, and here's something you can do good for all of humankind and good for this country. I mean, I don't think there are many bigger threats to the future of this country than climate change that's spiraling out of control. I think the United States in its own national self-interest needs to step up and say, we got to deal with this problem. And Governor Romney, if he's elected, I hope he'll do it. But boy, when you turn into a laugh line, That is really, really disappointing, and that's taking us in the wrong direction.
It's outrageous. Let's just call it what it is. And we have someone who's at the Democratic Convention going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes. She's part of the Energy Action Coalition. They're protesting Duke Energy sponsoring the Democratic Convention, so not without controversy there. But I just want to keep you for just a couple more minutes because I love everything you're saying, and I love your passion. Rob Hogue, in the column you talk about, you know, the cost of climate change in terms of our jobs and our economy, the cost for health care, and just the human suffering component. You know, when I was watching victims of the fires in Colorado, which we also quickly forget about, except if you happen to be directly impacted by them, these poor people, you know, a mother and her child standing, you know, on what used to be their home, and there's just a brick chimney left, and they're holding a couple of stuffed animals probably someone gave them. It's heartbreaking, and you wonder, you know, did these people even know that this might have been climate change? Not that it matters at that point, but sometimes you have to wonder, you know, if people hardest hit are even beginning to connect the dots. And comment on that, and then also I just love what you say at the end of the column, that you say, I must say I'm not afraid to declare that I care about the health of the planet simply because I care about it. It's like we always seem to have reasons for being concerned about climate change. How about we love nature and we see it as critical to our survival?
Right. Well, that, you know, that used to be the argument that people made, and it's something that I personally believe. But we, I mean, this gets to the fundamentals of our economy. If you want to ruin our economy, let climate change spin out of control and don't deal with it, and continue our addiction to fossil fuels. Our fossil fuel addiction is not helping our economy. In fact, I think it's the single biggest problem with our economy right now is we're spending all this money on oil that we waste instead of having that money in our economy, spending it for other good things. One final note of kind of hope and optimism. You see so many good things happening around Iowa and around the country. But, you know, we've got green buildings being built. We've got wind power. We've got solar power. Yesterday, I proposed at the University of Iowa that we add $3 million worth of solar panels so that Iowa can crack the top 25 in colleges and universities in solar power. All these alternatives work, and they create jobs. They put people to work. In Iowa, that has been one of the things that helped us avoid the worst of the recession, is we had a very strong, clean energy economy. And so our unemployment rate never got over about 6.5% because we had people working in the clean energy economy. And it worked, and I'll tell you, the fossil fuel industry is clinging to the past. They're trying to kill off these industries so they can extract another decade or two worth of profit. But that would kill our economy in the short run. It would hurt our economy in the short run and kill it in the long run because of climate change. So if people are worried about these sort of bread and butter issues, they better be worried about climate change, because I'll tell you, for those 800 businesses that were flooded in Cedar Rapids, about 200 of which we lost permanently, climate change is a very adverse reality, and we got to get going on it because it's a hard issue to deal with, even if we're all committed to it, and we don't have the luxury of waiting any longer for you know, to get this deep American consensus that we need to deal with this issue the way we need to deal with it.
Exactly. It's not like once people start, quote, believing, we turn it around and then we push a button and it's solved. I mean, we need every bit of brain power we have in this country and every bit of American ingenuity to address this. That's why we're wasting so much precious time with this supposed debate and denial.
Yeah, it's a 4 or 5 decade effort just to get it turned around. That's why we got to start turning now.
Well, we're just about out of time, but I have to ask you, you know, since you were in the heart of corn country there in Iowa, you know, how bad has it been? And then did you get any, you know, precipitation from Hurricane Isaac, residual or otherwise?
We didn't get any precipitation from Hurricane Isaac. It didn't reach, get up this north. We have had some rains, but I'll tell you, this corn crop, it's bad. The drought has been bad. And remember, the drought comes after 3 years where we had 500-year floods in our state. So 4 of the last 5 years, we are going to have sort of what I consider climate-related disasters that are going to that have drained billions of dollars out of our economy. And I will say this: thank you to the people of the United States for continuing to support disaster victims. Without the help of FEMA, my city and state government, my city would be flat on its back. I mean, we're willing to work hard. But we needed help after a $5 billion disaster in Cedar Rapids. Iowa's farmers continue to need crop insurance help. We need that help. We need to remain a country that supports each other during these things, and it's more critical now with climate change because you know, that's even if we do everything I want, we're going to see more climate change.
Exactly.
All we're trying to do is prevent it from becoming truly catastrophic, you know, in the next couple, you know, next two, three, four decades. We've got to prevent the truly catastrophic consequences. We're going to have to deal with it. We can deal with it, but we can't continue to ignore it. We've got to pull our heads out of the sand.
Could not agree with you more. And talk about disconnect. You know, many of the Tea Partiers, Michelle Malkin and the Republicans, want to not only cut back on firefighters, who are going to be needed more than ever, but also on FEMA funds. So it's quite vexing. And I just want to thank you for all your great work. You served two terms in the Iowa House and now state senator. Are you thinking about running for national office? I think we need you in Congress. I know we do.
Well, I appreciate that, Betsy. I'm focused on doing my job as a state senator and trying to help Iowans and Americans understand this climate issue, because I don't think it's been explained well enough. I think it's been, you know, the scientific dispute, there's really no scientific dispute. When you read the people who question it, their dispute is out here. It's a little bit. They agree on all the other fundamentals of it. And we've got to understand this is well understood, and it's time to take action, and I'm trying to help on that right now.
Senator Hogue, Why Climate Change Matters, the Iowa View. I thank you so much for your column, for your comments, and for your continued dedication.